avavahai tejasvinavaditamashtamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 9. Lord Brahma continued, because of your misbehavior towards Brihaspati, you have been defeated by the demons. My dear demigods, since the demons were weak, having been defeated by you several times, how else could you, who are so advanced and opulous, be defeated by them? Srila Prabhupada comments. The devas are celebrated for fighting with the asuras perpetually. In such fights, the asuras were always defeated, but this time the demigods were defeated. Why? The reason, as stated here, was that they had offended their spiritual master. Their impudent disrespect of their spiritual master was the cause of their defeat by the demons. As stated in the Shastras, when one disrespects the respect of the superior, one loses his longevity and the results of his pious activities. And in this way, one is degraded. So, because everything being Krishna, everything's connected to Krishna. So all the rules, all the laws and everything they're given are all about how we're connecting with Krishna. Right? What platform we're connecting on, whether it's on the Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan platform, right? Mm-hmm. So as devotees, we're interested, we focus on the Bhagavan. But the other two are there, because everything is Krishna. So that means then the spiritual master is showing us how to connect with Krishna. So if we disrespect the spiritual master, we can't think that's in that area, but in these other areas I'll be fine. Because the point is it's Krishna in every area. And how do you approach Krishna without the spiritual master? So if we've offended the spiritual master, how is it going to work? Does this make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why even here, just in a regular just fight, they lose. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the whole thing. All these things are there. Opulence, longevity, these are coming from properly dealing with Krishna's energy, which means dealing with Him. Right? And so if we disrespect the spiritual master, then it's not going to work. You can't, because what's our connection? Because everything's being connected to Krishna. Right? This idea is, I have my spiritual, and then there's my practical life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that. And depending on that it is, it's a few hours here and there. You know, and the other one is quite big, right? But actually, no, everything is Krishna. So there's no question of functioning outside of that. That's the thing.
This is one of these touchy things that sometimes we hear that, well, you know, Prabhupada's not God, you know, so...
Yeah, and yes, he's not God, but we are dog. that you can confirm. Yeah. That's the point where you say, he's not God, and you say, one more word, and according to Shastra, I have to cut your tongue out. You know, so. Yes. Because these aren't discussions.
This is...
Yeah.
But due to ignorance, from...
But which part of ignorance? Not just... You know, little kid, you know, oblivious to this, it's the envy part of ignorance. Prabhupada's controlling my life, I don't like that, I want to be independent. Therefore, if you say Prabhupada's not this or that, then that means then I can be free. I have the right to be free because...
I can choose what I want to
follow. Yeah, so that's the whole thing. This is just envy. This is not something, this is not intellectual, this is not, you know, being, you know, a critical thinker or, you know, this is just straight up front ending.
Yeah.
Because the point is they can't do what Prabhupada can do. And at the same time as they'll make comments.
It seems this ascendancy is being cultivated in a democratic society.
Yes, that's why Prabhupada said demon crazy. We don't mind that you're working on this, but the point is who's qualified to judge? You know, it's just like, let us say we want to have, you know, let's say you're having the local fair, okay? And people, and part of it is the, you know, the cooking and all that. You know, who brings the biggest pumpkin and who brings the biggest watermelon? Okay, that's pretty obvious. But now, they also cook all different things. Now, someone has to taste. Who do we get to taste? A connoisseur, someone who can taste. We just get the guy down at the corner who fixes the tractors, or, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point is we'll be very specific in the modern. Oh, where's your qualification to that? Oh, you don't have a degree in that, so you can't do that. And then they'll just think everybody is you know, can make comments on the spiritual path. And then you have the acharya who is qualified, who can see things as they are, and then we make stupid comments. This is atheistic, and it's totally inconsistent with their modern educated viewpoint that, you know, you have to have qualifications to do something. It's completely contradictory. Somehow the Prabhupada from the spiritual world can't figure it out, and they from around the hood here, they know everything. You know, that would be like saying, okay, I'm in grade school, and so I know what goes on in education. But those from university, and especially, you know, the postgraduates from the university or the professors in the university, they can't possibly understand what happens in grade school. Because they're not from here. And that's just giving a difference that we can relate to the difference. But actually it's, you know, way, way greater. So these kind of things are just atheistic.
Practically what we're speaking about is the idea that I can comment on everything, but nobody can comment on me.
Yes, it comes right down to self-centered envy. That's it. Nothing more glorious. Though the modern academy will try to make it look, oh no, but he's just questioning. Yeah, but how is he questioning? What's his intent for questioning? He's not trying to question and find out the absolute truth, because he's already making a conclusive statement, which the modern intellectual is not supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? So we can't, they can. So it's a totally one-sided, one-centered kind of thing. But it's pawned off as, you know, very intellectual, very lofty thinking. Like
dress
this.
It up.
They seriously dress it up and defend it with a lot of false ego. So it has no position, nothing of benefit, that approach. It means that you're using your intellect and trying to analyze and understand things, and that's what we're looking for. Because one wants to know what is the absolute truth, but if we're using that as just a front for maintaining our own material position, that's just cheating.
It can be used to not understand, to deliberately
it's,
not understand.
Yes, it's being used to deliberately not understand. Because as soon as you say something, oh, well then where is this? Oh, that. You're just writing it off. You know, just like I heard once. But it says in the Pancharatra you have to do like this. Oh, I don't know Pancharatra.
Yeah.
As if, okay, now then the discussion stops.
You throw out the Pancharatra.
Yes, like you're the center of the universe? What are you talking about here? You know, we're talking about, you're saying the Shastra doesn't have this point. We're saying here's the Shastra that does. And you're saying, well, I don't know that one. This is just cheating. Just straight cheating. The whole point is Guru Sadhu and Shastra's authority. We accept that. Then we apply our intellect on how to understand it, how to apply it, judging the application, what results we got. You know, did we apply it right? Is the situation correct? Is our understanding correct? That's where we apply all this. After trying to understand and applying. So the point is we first use the intellect to understand whether this is an authority or not. That's where you have your choice. Do I want to accept Prabhupada as my authority or not? And so then go ahead, look at it, analyze it, whether you want to or not. But once you do, then you don't keep using this foolish modern academic approach. That's animal. That's not human.
You can't cherry pick.
Huh?
You can't cherry pick what you want.
No, you can't. Like that. Especially when you don't even know what a cherry is.
Potato pick. Huh? I don't know.
Yes. That's it. You can't worm and stool pick.
Okay. Though many have tried.
Yes. Lord Brahma continued, "Oh Indra, your enemies, the demons, were extremely weak because of their disrespect towards Shukracharya. But since they have now worshipped Shukracharya with greater devotion, they have again become powerful." Right? So here, it just works. You can't say, "Oh, you've disrespected, that's it, you're finished eternally and all that. This eternal stuff is for those who don't think much." Right? Eternal means spiritual. Material, everything's temporary. So the point is it's just like saying, "Oh, I pushed the wrong button. Now if I push the right button, it won't work." You know, it's off. I pushed the off button. It didn't start. Now that's it. I'm finished. I can never push the start button. You understand? This is just emotion. The real point is no, you push the start button, it works. So you worship the Guru, it works. You don't worship, it doesn't work. It's that simple. As we mentioned, why not? Because you have to approach Krishna. And then, Krishna being everything, there's no question of you're not approaching Krishna. And Krishna doesn't like to be approached directly in relationship. It has to be through Guru. Right? You directly interact with Krishna, but you're doing it through the relationship with Guru. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's the important point. If that's understood, then everything works nice. So we see the demons didn't respect Shukracharya, they always lose because they're demons, they're atheists. The demigods, they respect their acharya, it always works. Now if they disrespect, then it stops working. And the demons, they respect, it works. It's that simple. Like that. So one can say, "Oh no, but it's complicated." It's not complicated. You respect authority, things work. You don't respect authority, nothing works. You know. But we're working on the principle, "Oh, I'm authority, I'm the center, so therefore of course it will work." But no, Krishna's the center. It's of course not going to work. Right? Yes.
Can you explain, please? We can't interact directly with Krishna.
We can. Yes.
But we have to go through Guru.
Yes.
What does that mean? So the first thing should be done through Guru and then we can...
No. It doesn't mean that. It means how are you approaching Krishna? Yes. It's just like, let us say, okay, you go into your kitchen. Okay, so you're approaching your kitchen. Okay, but the point is the ability of the kitchen to do what it does, that's Krishna. So the kitchen, the pots, the pans, all the different things, you know, the shelves hold things up, you know, the pots accommodate things and knives cut things and all that, fires heat things, that's all Krishna. But do we just walk in there as we like and it's just, "Hey, it's Krishna, it's you and me." You know? But no, Guru says, you know, we're doing things to cook for Krishna's Bhagavan. So we're engaging Krishna, you know, in Brahman and Paramatma to serve Bhagavan, because we don't have anything else to work with, right? So now when we're approaching, how do we approach? What's the mood in the kitchen? Careful? Are there any... Just like this. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, and then after coming to Krishna consciousness, is there any slight differences in how we deal with the kitchen? Right? Does that make sense? Right. We're clean. We don't sit around and eat things while we're cooking. You know, we think of Krishna. You know, we're not listening to, you know, the Grateful Dead while we're cooking. You know. Huh? Listen after while you eat. helps the chewing, right? You know, instead of just the teeth doing it, you can move the neck and that done. You just relax the top and the top teeth. Just kind of, sorry?
It's a good beat.
Yes, yes. Chew with the beat, right? You know, that way you can get in your 32 bites of, you know, according to yoga before swallowing. Yes, okay. So, does that make sense? So that means you're approaching Krishna through Guru, right? Why are you cooking? Because you'll offer to Krishna. So that means you're approaching Krishna through Guru, though you're directly interacting with the kitchen, which is Krishna, right? And you're, but it's through Guru that you're doing this. Does that make sense? Yeah. Then when you get to the Bhagavan, then it will be more, there's, you see the personal aspect more there. Yeah, the party. Yes.
Yes, when we're cooking and we offer the bowl that aren't we offering to the spirit and ask him to accept to say.
Yes, that's what I was saying. When you get to the Bhagavan platform, then we see is that the spiritual master also is personally more involved. But when you're dealing with Brahman and Paramatma, it's going to be just through Vani. But even most of our working with Krishna is going to be through Vani, is Bhagavan. You understand? But the point is there you're recognizing relationship. In other words, you should be recognizing the relationship in anything. Like, you know, it's just like, okay, how many times have you seen you go into a bathroom and someone else has used the bathroom before and they don't necessarily leave it so nice? Why aren't they leaving it nice? That's there, okay, then this, from the social platform you could do, but will that be the best benefit? You know, definitely socially people aren't going to make comments, but what's the real point? Based on what we discussed about the kitchen. It's Krishna. So therefore Krishna's cleanliness, Krishna's purity, Krishna's this, so that's why then you deal with Krishna in this way and leave it in a proper state. You know? Then you have the people that, you know, yes, they are the Vaishnavas, the devotees we're going to use, so therefore you don't want to inconvenience them. You know what I'm saying? And why do we know all this? Because of Prabhupada, you know, because of the Guru. You understand? So even our relationship with the bathroom is through Guru. So you see in areas where people are sloppy and slovenly and you know, inconsiderate this is because they actually don't see how it's Krishna and Guru. They don't see Krishna and Guru. They just think, as, hey, I've been using the bathroom since I was, you know, a kid, so, you know, I know how to do this. You know? You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem, is we don't apply this in everything. So that's the point, is they're not respecting Guru. It doesn't mean you're just doing a Guru Puja. That means in the instructions and application. Because we see those who respect the Guru, that they're willing to do the worship, they're also willing, if it's pointed out, how to apply it in their life. But you see, those who don't like to apply it in their life are also a little reticent about the puja. Or if they'll do the puja, but then it doesn't apply anywhere else. You understand? So you're going to get, does that make sense? So you're going to have those who respect the Guru and see how the Guru is applying everywhere, his teachings. You're going to see those who worship the Guru, but don't see that it doesn't apply everywhere. So they deify the Guru. So it's actually, also an atheistic position because he's not connected, right? So it's partial they respect, partial don't, right? Then you're going to have those who don't want to worship because they don't want to have to follow, right? You know, so, oh, Guru doesn't know everything. He's not, you know, it's like that one man, oh, so you know everything. You're the Guru. And so then he says, okay, how many windows in the Empire State Building? You know, and that's going to prove that he's the Guru because he knows everything, right? Facts. So then he says, how many windows in a mirage? That was Prabhupada's answer.
Drops of water.
Huh?
Drops of water.
How many drops of water in a mirage? Right? You know, so in other words, it's illusion. What does it matter how many windows it is? You don't know what spirit and matter. So that's the problem. So you have to know where they are. You know what I'm saying? It's not that Prabhupada has to know how to open a can of, you know, Heinz beans, and therefore that makes him Guru. You know what I'm saying? It's that he knows what's the difference between matter and spirit and how to use it, because everything is spirit, and we see everything as matter. So that's where the problem lies. Is that the thing?
Can you say he knows the answers, it's just we don't know the questions?
Yes, he knows the answers, we just don't know the questions. Yes, yes. That's good. Yes.
I'm trying to reconcile these examples in Bhagavatam with disrespect with our contemporary society. Because we see that here the reaction is instantaneous, even in CC. We see like devotees getting leprosy and their nose is falling off for blasphemy. But today there's a lot of blasphemous individuals and groups that systematically, you know, criticize.
But
yet they seem to be doing okay.
Because they're ho-hum. You know, it's like, how you say it? It's like the South American joke. I think it's from Peru. I don't know the districts, but there's certain districts there. There's one district where they're really proud people. Really, you know, their self-worth in their own mind is extremely great compared to anybody else. So then one person says to his friend, he says, I've come up with a great business proposition. He says to the other ones, what's that? I'm going to buy one of these guys from that particular district for what he's actually worth, and I'm going to sell him for what he thinks he's worth. So that's the point, is that they're really ho-hum small-timers, and so you don't see a lot happening. While these other people, you know, Gopal Chapla, he's focused, he's fixed, he's committed. They're, you know, on the absolute platform. He really sincerely thinks that Brahman is the absolute truth, and it's very difficult to get there. And only by following, as it says in the Karmakanda sections of the Vedas, can you get there. And this concept that Nama Bas, such a simple thing that any kid and anybody can do, will get you liberation, he's totally convinced. While most of these others who are saying blasphemy, it's just social, it's just pranamaya. They're real small-timers. I mean, extremely small-timers. They don't know the Shastra. They don't know how to follow it. So even though it's going to have a big reaction on them devotionally, materially they don't get much reaction because there's not much there to work with. You know, it means, in other words, what they think they are in the way of being intellectual and socially, you know, forward and all these different things, they're really, really narrow-minded, you know, people who are just self-centered. You know what I'm saying? So therefore you don't see these extreme examples because they're nothing special at all. Just a person with a mouth and, you know, so have you seen that it may be quite old, but it was always one of those stickers, you know, was it? Something like, first engage your brain before you start the mouth working, you know, like that. So they just emote like animals, like that. Though they think they're doing it very intellectually, but it's just, they're just emoting like animals. Otherwise, how do you get, you know, somebody as smart as a you know, physicist, and if you bring up God, they freak out. If they are real intellectual, then it's something to consider and discuss. No, it's emotionally, they can't discuss it. So even though they're like 8-year-olds with super brains and have no idea how to use them. So that's the problem, is due to the effect of Kali Yuga, people give themselves greater self-worth than they actually are worth. So that's why you don't see such extreme, because they don't have the commitment to that. Because you see the next day, if their group of friends that they value change their opinion, they'll change their opinion. It's just, you know, they come out in the morning, you know, wet their finger, hold it up and see which way the wind's blowing. And then that's how it goes in the meeting. It's not that they're not willing to die for their position. Not at all. You know, but like someone like Gopal Chapla, he is. But at the same time, because of that commitment, then when he sees what's wrong, then his surrender to Lord Chaitanya is so full that Lord Chaitanya accepts him. But here it's that their commitment is not great to either way. So you know, everything's blasé whether it's for Krishna or not.
That's the problem. You know, so, you know, if we had to go back to old world stuff, would you hear about all these people? If there was no internet and you had to work with snail mail, right, would you hear about these people? No, they'd be sitting somewhere. Now it's somebody out in the middle of nowhere. He has the same voice as someone who's there doing something. Someone's there at the place doing the work, and then someplace out in the middle of nowhere that has no idea what's going on, but they think they do, they have an equal voice. So it's unfair. You know, it's like before in warfare, you actually had to know how to fight. Now it's if somehow or another you can just, you know, hold the gun and figure out which end is, you know, shoots, then you could bring down a general. Well, before, you take an ordinary soldier, you know, you have a sword, he has a sword, there's no question. So it's just the modern technology has equalized, you know, the position on the skills. But as far as character, it's, you know, oceans of difference. So that's the sad part, you know. It's like what do you call it? Lord of the Flies. They all think that they're great and special and powerful, but they're just a bunch of crazy kids, you know. And that support of that is Jarabharat calls Rahugana a child. He's immature, even though he's a practicing king. So what? If you don't know actually the difference between matter and spirit, you're a child. You know, in the mature world, you may be respected, but in the circle of spiritual authorities, these persons who have criticism wouldn't even be allowed to come.
Even in material circles, nobody actually committed or surrendered to them or follows them.
No, it's just political. It's just like you're at a meeting, okay, then someone brings up, hey, we could do this and that, now there's this and that, and the boss says, well, I don't know, I think we should do like this. Suddenly everybody changes their tune. So that's all. It's just a matter of just, it's just the shooter mentality of just moving with whatever the flow is. Brahminical means this is the absolute truth, this is what it is. Socrates, now that's a Brahmin. You know, he's willing to die for what he thinks. But Western philosophy now is based on Aristotle. He was not willing to die. In fact, he just changed the philosophy so he didn't die. So it's said Aristotle is the father of modern philosophy. But it should have been Socrates. Does that make sense? You know, smart but wimps. You know, it's like the spoiled, you know, the kid from the rich family is spoiled, so therefore, you know, he gets upset so easily and stuff like that, you know? You know, or the dad was somebody special, so you think you're special, or, you know what I'm saying? You know, like that. So it's very mundane. So, does that work?
Yes.
Yeah? So,
okay. Someone told me Socrates was taking a nap when they came to do it.
Was taking a nap.
Yeah.
So it means he wasn't worried about it.
He was so unfazed by it. Oh, that's now? Okay.
Okay. He wasn't sitting there in anxiety.
No, crying.
Yeah. No.
Somebody else said that he can do it in the evening, but he said, why wait? Do it now.
Yeah, that's also there. Since it's inevitable, so, you know, why wait? Working on the principle of what something inauspicious should be done immediately. Yeah. Okay. By their devotion to Shukracharya, they have increased their strength so much that now they are even able to seize my abode from me. Because they have faith in Guru. That will conquer everything. So Brahma's saying they could even come and take my place. Right? But generally it's you don't sit around thinking about Brahma's place as the controller of the universe. He's the biggest guy, senior most. They generally leave him alone. Indra's the one you want to go after. Right? Because in Brahma, we don't hear about everyone sitting around glorifying and this and that, and the upstarts dancing and all that. It's not that they don't happen, you don't hear about it. Indra, you do. Yes.
Can they even reach the light?
That's another thing. If they keep worshipping their guru, then maybe. So in other words, the point is by worship of guru, anything's possible.
Because it's after Maharaj Jana, Baba.
Yes, but the point is by worship of guru, anything's possible. You look at before, people are so fixed in that service to Prabhupada that people who had no qualifications material were doing amazing things. And then today, people with all kinds of, you know, coming out of their you know, I don't know, what is it? Not pockets, coming out of their ears, you know, material qualifications, can't get anything done.
The Wasu?
Huh?
The Wasu?
That's another thing. We don't want to get that far. Does that make sense? Because the point is, you respect guru, it works. You don't respect, it doesn't. So you can see, individual devotees who have that commitment, so much happens. And those who are, well, you know, like that, then nothing happens. They talk big, but in reality, there's nothing. So I call it the an empty pot makes more noise. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, disrespect to guru is a cause of disaster, and respect to guru is a cause of good fortune. An example of the demons is given. They have so much strength that they can take away my abode also, because they have devotion to guru. Bhrigu Devata. Right? So that's the whole point, is because it's about Krishna. Krishna is the one who awards the ability. He's the ability in man. You approach Krishna through guru, he gives the ability. You approach him directly, you don't get. So it's very simple. We can say, oh, but this and that, we have to, you know, it's, this is 2016. The point is, it's 2016, it's still Krishna. That's not going to change. You know what I'm saying?
He's my devotee, it's not my devotee.
Yes.
The devotee.
My devotee, he's my devotee. So that's the point. That's there, everything works. Right? So it means that commitment, not just the external show. It means the commitment. Yes. Yes, but that's the American dream. It's the maverick, he just does, you know, amazing stuff because, yeah. They always work it out. The guy, he's the duffer that never really takes anything seriously, you know, the average guy doesn't do, you know, he's a nice guy, never flunks out, but never actually gets any A's and this and that, and then, you know, he rises to the call of duty and does amazing stuff, beats, you know, the most intelligent aliens or, you know, organized anything and like that. Yes, that's the American ideal. How often does it happen?
Every movie.
Huh?
Every movie?
Yeah. At least every action movie, right? You know. That's the point. You have that, then it'll work.
In the American movie, he always rises to the duty, but he always goes against the system.
Yes.
So how's the duty?
It's just it means it's, they're Shankaras, so they're going to come up with a mixed thing. There's as living entities, they're going to have a natural sentiment that there is some kind of form and things like that, relationship, some higher pranamoyic ideal. But at the same time, as there's always, it's about the man, you know, it's always about the man. Right? So that's you're going to get that. But the point is that it's like this. Okay, you make your, you know, you get your 8mm, you make your little, you know, art house movie, and you show it at your friend's house. How much do you make?
$6 a year.
Yeah, okay. So not bad. That's good. Could have been less. You know. But the whole thing of the movie, it has to be distributed through already established people. And if they put in the advertisement, they put in the thing, they, you know, if the man does the stuff, then you make your millions. You know, so in other words, what movie goes out there is the ones they think will make money. It may be a great movie, but if they don't think it'll make money, it doesn't happen. So the whole point is that they, you know, what was it? I'm not sure. I think this was something, a point was being made by somebody. I don't even remember what it was, from, but it was about you know, you have these guys, wastrels doing nothing with their life, riding around America on a, you know, a chopped Harley. But the reason they can do that is because there's some, you know, government military guys, which they don't like, the Harley guys, that is keeping it so that, you know, others don't come there and bother you. You know? The guy in his heart loves riding the open highways. You know, otherwise, the point is, a chopper cannot turn a corner. It's meant for going in a straight line. Where do you get roads that are always in a straight line? In America. Why do you have those big, wide roads that you can just go along like that? Because the military had them built.
Conspiracy?
Sorry?
It's a conspiracy?
No, it's just standard planes. You have an 8-lane highway. You can move an army down. You can land airplanes. So that means anywhere in America you have access. It's just, it's a pretty straightforward thing. So that's the problem, is that there's always this thing, is that we want everything. We want, in other words, it's like children. Children are taken care of by dependent parents, but they think they don't want to eat dinner. They want to play. They don't want to do this. They don't want to wear their coat when they go outside. They don't want to take their boots off when they come inside, you know.
It's like the anarchist who throws a brick through the window of a McDonald's and goes for a Big Mac into the next room.
Yeah, like that. You know, so it's weird. That's the point. It's mixed. So that's the that it's not that there's not important points to be made. If you're dealing with a living entity, there's guaranteed there's going to be something of value in the way they think and what they do. But because it's not connected to the Lord, it's not scientific. So therefore, one aspect is correct, one aspect's totally wrong.
I just get mixed up.
You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. It's so contradictory.
But that aspect that's wrong may be right in another context.
Yes, but they don't know. That's the whole point. That's why Prabhupada's not saying you have to... Does Prabhupada say get rid of America?
No.
He just said if the leadership in America becomes God-conscious and establishes things in a scientific way, then they can lead... They think they're the world leaders. Then they can lead the world. He's not saying, as I was saying, it shouldn't be. He's just saying... Just do it right.
You see what's happening now 50 years later.
Yeah, and so it's you know, people are less secure now than before. You know, so that's the problem. So this modern thing, the more they go after it, the less secure and the less people get. Like that. That's where we're saying. You want social security, then you have to practice Krishna consciousness. Because otherwise, the social system keeps changing. You know what I'm saying? That's the difficulty. And it works. You can say, okay, that works in India, but how many Asians in America are doing well? And doing above average? You know, give them a little time and they generally get to upper middle class. But there's a good chance that your general American, if he's not upper middle class, he'll never get there. Yeah, that's fair. But you know what I'm saying? So they'll get there. And so India and Asia, they have the oldest cultures in the world. It goes back thousands of years. We can go back eternally, but at least there it goes back, well, say 5,000 years. So they're following the same standards. Right? They still will use Confucius and Taoism and these things in their old culture and family relationships that are thousands of years old, and they work today. So this idea that, oh, it's different now, you can't do it. All we're saying is that I don't know it, and since I don't know it, then nobody can know it, and therefore now we're all equal. Not that we want to be equal, then learn something. You want to be equal to the Asians, then pick up your game. Rather than, no, we have to reduce them down to ours. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's the whole point. So it does work, but we'll have pat little things to sideline all these, and the reason is just the false ego. our own attachments, our own, you know, our own fears. It's different. What will happen? Will I be okay? You know, if I put some grated carrot in my, you know, chili, will it still be okay? You know, my mommy didn't do that, you know, so they got a problem. That make sense? Yeah. Yeah. So the central point is, when one follows the order of guru, all fortune is there. One ignores it, then nothing works. You know, so it's not a sentimental thing. It's a matter of actually, there's a, try to follow it in your life. In other words, the instructions are what's important. That will make it work. Srila Prabhupada adds, Lord Brahma wanted to point out to the demigods that by the strength of guru, one can become most powerful within this world. And by the displeasure of the guru, one can lose everything. This is confirmed by the song of Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadan nagatikotopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one is benedicted by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. So that means in anything like that. So it's not just, okay, I'm the spiritual, but material, you know, I'm doing fine. Because as we mentioned, there is no such thing as material. It's all Krishna. The concept that we can approach it without guru and Krishna, that's what's material. Okay. Although the demons are insignificant in comparison to Lord Brahma, because of the strength of their guru, they were so powerful they could even seize Brahmaloka from Lord Brahma. We therefore pray to the spiritual master, Mukam karoti vachalam pangulam gayate girim, yat kripa, Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, 1780. By the mercy of Guru, even a dumb man can become the greatest orator, and even a lame man can cross mountains. As advised by Lord Brahma, one should remember the Shastric injunction if one desires success in his life. So it doesn't matter what your position is, if by that faith in Guru, you can do so many amazing things. So that's the point. It's you have that faith, amazing things are done. You don't have that faith, doesn't matter what your qualifications are, nothing's really going to happen. You may feel it's all happening, but in reality, nothing's happening. Let's see. Lord Brahma continued. Because of their firm determination to follow the instructions of Shukracharya, his disciples, the demons, are now unconcerned about the demigods. In fact, kings or others who have determined faith in the mercy of Brahmanas, cows, and the Supreme Personality Godhead, Krishna, who always worship these three, are always strong in their position. Right? So Brahmanas, cows, and the Personality of Godhead. So, in other words, about Krishna, it's about this, that behavior, then everything becomes strong. So you see, when this is applied, it works. When it's not applied, it doesn't work. It's that simple. People who have faith in these three, they do well. People who don't, they do less. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments, pacification, offering gifts and punishment are obviously not possible. Causing dissension among them also is not possible. That is explained in this verse. They have indivisible counsel, Abhedya Mantraha. The cause of everything is that they have taken the teachings of Shukracharya as their only goal. Right? So just talking is not going to work because they're in a stronger position. Offering gifts isn't going to work. Punishment's not going to work. And dissension won't work. So none of the political things will work. The whole idea is, no, by using these political things, political correctness and all the different modern, whatever is the latest, will make Krishna consciousness work. No, it's only faith in Guru will make it work.
It'll distract.
So it won't work because, here, the demons, because they're fixed in devotional in service to their Guru. It's not necessarily devotional, meaning transcendental. But they're all together and fixed on that. That's what makes it work. You want to be powerful? That's how you have to do. There has to be that one point of serving the Guru. And if it's about some kind of political or technical or intellectual thing will make everything work, that's not going to happen at all. Mm-hmm. Never. It just doesn't work. Yes.
But isn't there a representation of Krishna, so in that way, the demons come from? Or is this not the demons?
Yeah, but what aspect of Krishna are they looking at?
Power.
Yes, power. So, therefore, they're worshipping Krishna's power through the worship of their guru. And so they're successful. Right? While the demigods are enjoying their opulence and power with then disrespecting gurus, so then they lose all that.
It just sounds a little bit like some of the aspects you're describing. Like I thought it was about relationship. This is what, you know, about the relationship, but some of the aspects that you're describing seem to be quite mechanical. Like,
why am I focusing on the mechanical? Because otherwise we think, oh, he didn't look at me, so I've offended Guru, or what's wrong, and, you know, did I offend you? And no, but, you know, this and that, no, everything's all right. No, but then, I'm talking about that. And that's real live, real time. You know what I'm saying?
Somewhere in the
world. Yeah, it's happening right now. That's what I'm talking about. So we have to understand it's taking the instruction. In other words, Vapu, of course, we're going to deal with properly, but the real relation with Guru is Vani, following the instructions. Otherwise, I've seen that. Oh, Guru didn't smile at me today. What did I do wrong? Oh, my life's this. It's all this. And it's like, all that happened was this when they came, someone said, you know, and Maharaj, and he turned his head so he didn't notice you. And then that's it. It's hell. That's what it is. It's hell.
For both parties?
Huh?
For both parties?
Yes, for both parties. But it's created by one particular party and enjoyed by both. So it is shared. It is the relationship. But then the point is it's the relationship on what level? It's the relationship on how a father has to deal with the insanity of a biological daughter, you know, the husband with the wife, you know, the son with the mother. It's not guru-disciple. It's not teacher-student. You understand? There's, in other words, the volume of emotion is greater than the value of the instructions. Someone who's really fixed in the instructions there, and if that other sense is stronger, it matches. But when it's always just about their feelings and this, and they're always going up, that's the problem. It's about the instruction there, follow it. That's where the shelter is. Does that make sense? That's why I was emphasizing the mechanical side. Because if I just left it as it is, then it will just stay, you know, like that. Then everybody has to feel, unless I'm personally interacting with the guru, then I don't have a relationship. But the whole point is to follow instructions, you know, and advance in spiritual life. Not just have great social interaction with the guru. Right? You understand? So the point is if it's just social interaction but not following instructions, someone's having following instructions and not having social interaction, one is following instructions will progress. If you can deal with both, great. But it can't be just the sentimental. Because that's why the modern is always about the Diksha Guru. Siksha Gurus, nobody cares. Right? Because the Siksha Guru, it's just spiritual. So, you know, where's the emotional fun? But the Diksha Guru, then everything that I, you know, either got or should have got from, you know, my father, my husband, my son, my, you know, whoever I thought male figure in the universe that should have gotten something and I didn't, they're going to give it because they're the spiritual master and they're perfect, they're everything and all that.
But I guess if you're following someone's instructions to the extent, taking that as your life and soul, then I can see.
Yes, but the whole point is it's just like this. The girl has a husband, okay? And therefore, the certain things that she does with husbands and that, the emotional interaction, that's for the husband. Does she act like that with her son or with her brother? No. So therefore, you have to discriminate that this is the teacher. You know what I'm saying? I've seen people, you know, come in and they didn't smile. They were busy doing something. Something's going on. And they walked in at that time and they decided, we're going to come and we're going to interact at this time. But they were already busy, and so they didn't interact so much. And they created this whole scene. You know, you're the authority. It's your duty to interact with me. You have to, you know, encourage. You have to like this. It was a whole scene. I mean, serious scene. Instead of that, I came in, they were busy, okay, I'll come back later. No, it's I've come in, here I am. I'm the center of the universe. Now, encourage. You know what I'm saying? So instead of teacher being life and soul, teacher is just where we're going to get, you know, these. Nice, at least we're looking somewhere. But what we're saying is, why, if you only take that much, then where's the spiritual? The point is, it's okay, the emotional thing, great, but where's the spiritual? So we're not saying throw that out, we're saying where's the spiritual? Add the spiritual. Then it's a balance. Does that make sense? So then the two go together. But if it's just only if he smiles, and he smiled, he's my eternal guru. He didn't smile, now, you know, it's eternal damnation. So it's, this kind of stuff is just not important at all. It really isn't. That's not the judge. The point is I want to develop in spiritual life. This person gives instructions that I can follow. It works for me. That's the relationship. Now, if on top of that, then there's personal interactions, great. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. You know, it's already great, and then if you add that, then more nice. You know, it's just like, okay, I have the, how do you say? You have the chapatis, you have the sabji, and then there's some achar. Great. But nowadays, it's people just have achar. There is no chapati and sabji. And they think that's the meal. So they think, you know, relationship with guru is just that emotional interaction and that's it. That's the total thing. No. What about the spiritual? Where's that? The emotional thing's there. It works. Nice. Great. But where's the spiritual? You understand? That's the point. So if the spiritual's there, then the two will balance. But if it's just this emotional thing, it's just insanity for everybody. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes. Means we're worshipping Krishna.
About the situation with demons. Were they successful just by worshipping Guru? What about cows and spirits?
But then that's why they're going to lose their position. But you add the other two in, then you don't lose your position. Yeah. But the point is, you worship Brahmins, you also, worship cows. You don't worship Brahmins, you don't worship cows. No, I'm just saying, we're talking about us. Forget the demons. The example given here is just they worship gurus. Take that. You know what I'm saying? Then you add to that, then you throw in the cows and the Supreme Lord. The point is you follow authority, it will work. You even see in mundane history, someone who's very committed and very, you know, to following their teacher, their authority, it worked really well. They're glorious. You know what I'm saying? So you add these two, and then it'll be even greater. Okay. Yes.
Would it be fair to say that in the Bhagavatam, the overwhelming majority of guru-disciple relationships involve very little familiarity? I mean, like, for example, Narada Muni in his previous life with Dhruva Maharaj, I mean, they might have seen their guru once in their life, and then...
Yes. Yeah, that's the point, that's why it says a moment's association is enough. If in that moment, it's just like boy sees girl, it's a moment. And you can be remembering that for a long time. Right? So the same thing, just a moment is enough. So that can be carried on. Then if you get more, then that's added. But it's not that, no, it has to be all that so much, and that's what's going to make it work. You know what I'm saying? So it has a relationship like that, yes, then they'll function on that platform. But if they don't, just following the order is good enough. It works. You know, there's devotees who are like always around Prabhupada, and there's ones that never met him. Right? And they're all, you know, committed to doing their services, advancing in spiritual life. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that, but it's natural those who have that personal relationship will carry on in that. So whenever they're with Prabhupada, they would interact like that. But for others, it's not that, oh, only if you have that, then it's spiritual. That's what we're trying to make. You know what I'm saying? So like that, there's only a couple of devotees like that. You know, there's one Upendra, there's one, you know, Shruti Kirti. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just they just have that very specific. Others don't have like that. But it doesn't mean that everybody else is not nice disciples. You know what I'm saying? In the movement, you know, in earlier days, Brahmananda would have been more prominent than Upendra or Shruti Kirti. But they were always around Prabhupada and had their particular relationship. Brahmananda had a different relationship. You know, for the one, it's like, you know, what's for lunch? The other one's how we're going to preach, you know, manage the society. You know. So that's the thing. It's very specific according to your nature, the nature of the spiritual master, the relationship that develops. That's nice. That encourages within it. But it's the spiritual instruction and following that and commitment to that that makes the actual relationship. Then this is the flavoring that goes along with it. You know what I'm saying? You know, someone, you have the meal, and someone is like the salt, or someone is the lemon, or someone is the chili, or someone is the achar. You know, it's like that. So to say that's the thing, no, the meal is the main thing. So accepting the instructions of life and soul, that's the real thing. Is that okay? No, they would have guru. On the Vedic thing, if they're only dealing with Upanayanam, then that's there. But he's guru anyway. You know, just like your mother, father, guru, like this. So, you know, it's all on its level.
Yeah, but they wouldn't take initiation from a separate one, the husband.
No, because their marriage ceremony was equivalent too. So they have the same position. But when you're dealing in Pancharatra, then husband and wife both accept Pancharatric Diksha. Okay. Yeah. And Bhagavat's the same. Both are accepted. So it's only on the Vedic if it's just only that much. So that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. The cause of everything is that they have taken the teachings of Sukracharya as their only goal. Anu Shitar Tarta. Then we will die. Brahma comforts them. Those who are merciful to Brahmins, cows, and Govinda have no misfortunes. Right? So they're so fixed, and so now the demigods are worried. He says, no, that you can also. Those who are merciful to Brahmins, cows, and Govinda, they have no misfortunes. So they've disrespected their guru. But that doesn't mean that they can't now respect. Right? Problem's there, now correct it. And then it'll go forward properly. Yes. That's the whole point. That's why we're chanted every day. Hopefully that we'll follow it.
That's the point.
Yeah. From the instructor, Lord, that was the prophet, right? Srila Prabhupada adds, from the instructions of Lord Brahma, it is understood that everyone should very faithfully worship the Brahmins, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the cows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Gobrahmanya Hitaya. He is also very kind to cows and Brahmanas. Therefore, one who worships Govinda must satisfy him by worshiping the Brahmins and cows. They go together. They're a package. So that's why it's modern concern about cows. Do they care about Brahmins? No, they'll criticize the Brahmins that you're not dealing with cows how we think you should be dealing. Like that. So this is not what we're talking about. Worship of cows means you actually do something for them. like that. Protect them, feed them. That's worship of God.
Therefore, one who worships Govinda must satisfy him by worshiping the Brahmins and cows. The government worships the Brahmins, cows, and Krishna, Govinda. It is never defeated anywhere. Otherwise, it must always be defeated and condemned everywhere. At the present moment, all over the world, governments have no respect for Brahmins, cows, and Govinda. And consequently, there are chaotic conditions all over the world. In summary, although the demigods were very powerful in material opulence, the demons defeated them in battle because the demigods had behaved disrespectfully towards a brahmana, Brihaspati, who was their spiritual master. Right? So that's how it works. Everything goes very nicely if you follow these. But nowadays, you see, governments don't worry about these. Right? So then, it's chaotic. It's always changing. One moment it's very stable, next moment it's unstable. You know, all like that. So, yeah. Lord Brahma concluded, O demigods, I instruct you to approach Vishwarup, the son of Twashta, and accept him as your guru. He is a pure and very powerful brahmana, undergoing austerity and penances. Please, by your worship, he will fulfill your desires, provided that you tolerate his being inclined to side with the demons. Right? Providing that you, he already said this. Right? So then when it came up, Indra became so angry he killed him. The Brahma said, no, you know, so he goes from disrespecting his guru to killing his guru, right? So Indra has problems.
He's trying.
Yeah, yes, he's trying. That's why they have to change him, 14 of them in a day of Brahma. Otherwise, if he stayed longer, then, yes.
So can we say that his remorse was not really real?
No, it would be real on a particular level. But the point is that's why we always say is that unless it's on the spiritual platform, then it's not really real.
Well, he said quite many correct things.
They're correct. But the point is then the next moment you forget. Why? Because it's only Krishna consciousness, then you will always remember, never forget. Because if you always remember Krishna, never forget, you always remember these instructions. And that. Because everything you're dealing with is Krishna, so therefore... Verses 26 to 40. The Devatas take shelter of Vishwarup. In verses 26 to 40, the Devatas, headed by King Indra, approach Vishwarup in a humble mood. Vishwarup, he was junior to them by age. He was skilled in reciting mantras and thus qualified to serve them the capacity that they required. Right. So much of the time it's thinking that age is very, very important. So if we're going to bring up this element of age, there's a good chance he wasn't married. Otherwise, once someone's married, you don't generally discuss age. You might say experience, but you generally don't talk age. We only bring up age when someone's young. So Prabhupada mentioned, was it Preetam Maharaj, his yagyas? Someone yagyas, it was brought out, remember there was the discussion about the priests were young. That was Preetam Maharaj? Somebody did a was doing yagyas. So I think it's Preetu was those. But yeah, but huh? But in any case, it was. We discussed it. So the point was because they're young, therefore they're not in household life. Therefore they're not as distracted by so many things in household life. So then the point is after they're trained, but before they're married, then that is the best. Right? If they're younger than that, they don't have the experience. So therefore, someone who's trained and married and has the experience would be better. You know, so that in other words, it's not a prerequisite, but if you have, it's valuable. Mm-hmm. Right. Otherwise, then a grihastha is mature in his duties, knows all, they'll do a very nice job, but they just don't have necessarily the same focus that the brahmacharis will. But it works out fine because the grihastha, who's the yajaman, also doesn't have any focus, so it works out. Right? You know, it balances. What we're meaning here is that so he was junior to them by age, so therefore he was, you know, that would be, he would be qualified. When Vishwarupa agreed to become the guru of the demigods, he recited the Narayana Kavacha, which stripped the demons of their newfound power and gave it to Indra. Because he has from both sides. So the point is naturally the demigods are in the superior position because they manage the universe. The demons are simply trying to enjoy the facilities. So they have their position in the universe, right? Does that make sense? So therefore, then, he's naturally going to see from the occupational side the position of the demon, demigods, because that's his father's side. Does that make sense? So as far as the Varna aspect goes, then he'll tend to side in that way easily with the demigods. But because his mother's from the demon side, therefore there'll be that sentiment and that care for their well-being. Right? Does that make sense? So that's how you see is this dual thing. They're not contradictory. Because the concern is in two different areas. Does that make sense? Srila Sugadeva Goswami continued, thus advised by Lord Brahma and relieved of their anxiety, all the demigods went to the sage Vishwarup, the son of Tvashtha. My dear king, they embraced him and spoke as follows. 26. The demigods said, beloved Vishwarup, may there be all good fortune for you. We, the demigods, have come to your ashram as your guests. Please try to fulfill our desires according to the time, since we are on the level of your parents. O Brahmana, the highest duty of a son, even though he has sons of his own, is to serve his parents. And what to speak of a son who is a brahmachari? Right? So they're senior, so they respect there, but now, especially as a brahmachari, then there'll be even more. Right? Because the brahmacharis are always, they always deal as if they're, you know, younger. Does that make sense? But the grihasthas, then you know, the age difference is there, but then, you know, so there, but especially if they have sons, they still follow that practice, but you would consider them more mature. So in other words, you see in the Vedic, you're always having to balance all these seemingly contradictory points. That's what makes human life. You know what I'm saying? Animal kingdom, no contradiction. Right? It moves, it's smaller than you, you bark. Right? If you can catch it, you bite it. You understand? It's straightforward. Right? You don't have to worry about it. Right? Does that make sense?
Sounds nice.
Yeah. Yeah, straightforward. Simple. The Acharya, the spiritual master who teaches all the Vedic knowledge and gives initiation by offering the sacred thread, is the personification of all the Vedas. Similarly, a father personifies Lord Brahma, a brother, King Indra, a mother, the planet Earth, and a sister, Mercy. A guest personifies religious principles. An invited guest personifies the demigod Agni, and all living entities personify Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's why when we say we see all living entities as servants of the Lord, that's because they actually, within the universal feature, represent the Lord. Right? That potency is there. So these are all the different positions and what the relationships are. So you can see they're different. Yes?
Living entities personify Lord Vishnu because of Brahma being in them?
Yes, that's there. And also, you know, just that they're the Lord's energy. But there's these others, then there's a specific thing, right? Father, Lord Brahma, because he's the source of everything, right? A brother, King Indra, because, you know, then he's always supposed to be chivalrous and get things done and stuff like that. You know, the mother, the planet Earth, because she supports, she nourishes, you know, because where you stand is on the Earth. Your support is there. All your food comes from the Earth. All your shelter is made out of Earth, right? You know, it's not that in the middle of a storm you go out and take shelter in your air house. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. A sister, Mercy, right? Because sisters are supposed to be very nice. At least younger sisters. I don't know about. I've heard many stories about older sisters, but. But I'm not sure if this means sister means to brother. Because sister to sister, I'm not sure. Okay, guests personify religious principles because then they come, you have to follow religious principles to deal with them. because they came, they're uninvited, you know, they just showed up, you have to deal. You have to be very religious to actually deal with them. You can check your piety if people show up, how you deal with them. Right? Like that. And invited guest personifies the demigod Agni, right? Because then there's sacrifices, you know, fire of digestion, you know, all these different things. So that's a plan thing. That's very specific. Mm. So the uninvited guest, that will be, all religious principles. This will specifically mean the sacrifice, how you interact and follow problem. All living effort. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Agni has a volatile quality. So
yes, Agni has a volatile quality. So. And one has to, you know, you've invited them, you have to deal with it. Srila Prabhupada comments. According to the moral instructions of Chanakya Pandit, Atmavat Sarva Bhuteshu, one should observe all living entities to be on the same level as oneself. This means that no one should be neglected as inferior. Because Paramatma is seated in everyone's body, everyone should be respected as a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So then, your point is. Okay? The demigods continued, "Dear son, we have been defeated by our enemies, and therefore we are very much aggrieved. Please mercifully fulfill our desires by relieving our distress through the strength of your austerities. Please fulfill our prayers. Since you are completely aware of the Supreme Brahman, you are a perfect Brahmana, and therefore you are the spiritual master of all orders of life. We accept you as our spiritual master." Right. So in other words, one who knows Brahman actually is a spiritual master for everybody. Right? You know, it's just like Lord Chaitanya would deal with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as he's the superior, he's the teacher. You know, because he knows Brahman. You know, even though he's a sannyasi. Does that make sense? But someone who knows Bhagavan, that's going to be the topmost. "We accept you as our spiritual master and director so that by the power of your austerity, we may easily defeat the demons who have conquered us." The demigods continued, "Do not fear criticism for being younger than us. Such etiquette does not apply in regard to Vedic mantras. Except in relationship to Vedic mantras, seniority is determined by age. But one may offer respectful obeisances even to a younger person who is advanced in chanting Vedic mantras. Therefore, although you are junior in relationship to us, you may become our priest without hesitation." Right? So that's why Brahma mentioned his position in Vedic mantras. So in other words, he knows the mantras, he knows how to use the mantras, he knows the meanings of the mantras. This is then what creates the superior position. Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada comments. It is said, Vritatvam Vayasa Vina. One may be senior without being advanced in age. Even if one is not old, one gains seniority if he's senior in knowledge. Vishwarupa was junior in relation to the demigods because he was their nephew. But the demigods wanted to accept him as their priest. And therefore he would have to accept obeisances from them. The demigods explained that this should not be a cause for hesitation. He could become their priest because he was advanced in Vedic knowledge. Right? So we're saying, you know, what's the big deal? But it is a big deal. Right? I just saw an arrangements for marriage and all that, and because in the part of the arrangement, then the father of the boy is asking about the girl. And the father said, "I'm not doing that. I'm the father of the boy. You know, the father girl has to come to me." Which means for the arrangement it is, but for the engagement, then he's inviting her to the family. So he's saying, "I'd like your daughter to be there." But because it doesn't say that in the words, it just says, you know, give the daughter. Then I'm not doing that. You understand? So again, real life scenario is that I'm older than him. I've been around longer. I was temple president back in, 70-something. You know, it's like, yeah, and what have you done since then? You know what I'm saying? I'm a Prabhupada disciple. I joined before him. You understand? It's a real live thing. So that's why we have to understand knowledge, devotional service, these are superior things. Therefore, then someone's there. You know, like if I go to the program, that then no one gives any trouble. I send the boys, even though they have, you know, they've been doing yajnas for 10 years. You take all of our ISKCON pundits in the movement who have learned mantras and did yajnas, put them all together, and one of our boys has done more yajnas and chanted more mantras than all of them put together. And then add some more. But they won't respect them because they're younger. Right? They've been doing this longer than they've been in charge. So it's real. That's why it's being brought out here. People just say, oh yeah, what's the big deal? It is a big deal. Very much it goes by as older. You have a young girl, there's a lady that's older, it's automatic she's in control just because she's older. You know, she's had kids. Oh, that's like unlimitedly old. Right. You haven't had kids, you just don't even count. So that's why these things are mentioned. Because this is real life social obstacle in one's devotional life. The inability to respect people because of knowledge. Like that. So that's why it's being brought out. And Brahma mentioned it specifically. It wasn't that demigods are bringing it out just as a political thing. Brahma first mentioned it. He's expert in mantras. Therefore, he's superior to you. Because their first thing is going to be, hey, he's younger than us. Not only is he younger than us, he's a brahmachari. Right? Because it was like in Mahabharata when Shakuntala, when she meets the king, he gives a half a page of definition on the position of a grihastha. Today, the guy's not married. He's a kid. Tomorrow, he gets married. There's half a page of things that now people will attribute to him. And that half a page, they won't give him the time of day before his marriage. You're not married, you're not part of the community, you're not part of the scene. You're married, you're part of the scene. You're an upstanding member of the scene. Half a page of definition. Like that. Does that make sense? And in dealings, you run into it every day. Really standard. So that's why it's being given, is that one has to understand that knowledge and devotional service are actually the superior points. So, these things are also considered. So we do consider age. That's why Vishwarup is considering age, even though on this position as being the guru, he's superior. But he will deal with them nicely because of their age. So it's not that the one trumps the other goes out. No, it's that that's there. But these others are there, but which one's senior? Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, now if we were discussing family life, yeah, then the brahmacharya would be the junior. But we're not. We're discussing mantras, knowledge, yajnas. He's superior than all of them.
You mentioned, oh, I'm a Prabhupada disciple. Where does that rank?
That's next generation, so that's something to be respected. Like that. You know, because you might have someone from as a disciple of Prabhupada that's technically, you know, the same age as you.
Well, I'm not.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, like that. Because that means, had a god brother, he was 12 at the time he took initiation. I think there were three of them here in Mayapur. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, that would have been, yeah, mid-70s. You know, yeah. 75, 76, like that. So yeah, so they'd only be 50-something. Yeah. So there's people who are, you know, the next generation who are 60, 70, or same age, 50. So then there is that seniority based on that. But it's still who has the most knowledge, and that's respected also.
Because who has the most knowledge would then also respect the other.
Yeah, of course, of course. That's why Vishwarup is worried about it, and that's why they're trying to console him that don't worry about it. You know, it's not that they walked in here and then, yeah. What took you so long? You know?
Come on.
Yes.
so that seemingly he did something wrong, and then he killed him, but it's like he changed the vision that he now what he did. He's like, really?
No, he just changed the vision that, you know, he's Indra and he's working for the demigods and this guy's, you know, getting in the way. So he just switches, you know, his vision. But it's wrong, so he gets to have tuberculosis personified chase him around the universe, and he has to hide in the stem of a lotus. You know how big a stem of a lotus is? Right? Indra. And that's here. You know what I'm saying? It's not like we're talking about a heavenly planet lotus. We're talking about a lotus here. So big monster Indra has to stuff himself into a lotus stem here to hide. Right? So it doesn't work out good. So that's why one has to always be very, very careful. The etiquette always applies. But the problem is anger is a tendency one loses. So pride, because anger comes out of pride. The point is in the area of where they have seniority, that's where it applies. That's the Vedic system, is apply seniority where it does apply. The modern system is if you're superior in everything. I've seen people, they become a temple president. Right? And they can manage, they can do stuff and stuff like that. They know zip about deity worship or about cooking. But now they're telling the pujaris and the cooks what to do. They don't know anything. I'm not joking. One example, the temple president was walking into the deity room with his boots on because he didn't want to take them off, because after he makes the point, he's going back out in the fields. But he thinks he can because he's the authority. He can do whatever he likes. That's the problem with the Western model. Is if you're senior in everything across the board. The Vedic is you're senior in your own area and the other person's senior in his. Therefore you respect them in their area, they respect you in yours. But there's a hierarchy of these seniority. Right. So when it comes to the deity worship, the head pujari actually in this case knows more than the president. He should respect him for that. So when he tells him don't wear your shoes in there, he can't say I'm the president, I can do what I like. He can't say that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so we have to be very careful about these things. That's what we're talking about. If we were dealing here with everybody has come from a background of following the Vedic rules and regulations. In other words, if the room was full of the audience listening to this, where they since they've been born, them, their parents, their grandparents, they can give you the names of seven generations that they've been getting up for Mangal Artik, and they've studied the Veda and this and that, and there are families like that. We had a room, these points would go over very, very quickly. But, you know, we're from the thing is that, you know, my mind is the absolute ultimate authority, and if I get any authority, then I take total dictatorial charge. You know, we have to discuss it a little bit more. So that's the difficulty. You have to remember, India, it was Chanakya, right? China, you had Sun Tzu, right? Japan, you had Musashi. Europe, you have Machiavelli. So that kind of gives an indication. You know what I'm saying? So, that's why things have to be cut out a little more. Yeah. Does that make sense? So in other words, relationship is there, and that's what you're actually dealing with. You're not dealing with efficiency of just getting it done. That's what the modern does. I'm in charge, so if I say what gets done, then that works the best. The Vedic is no. Somebody has to lead, but then everybody has their position relationships, and you have to consider all that. But for the Western mind, that's overly bulky and to consider, because it's something that nobody hardly ever considers. So in their mind, it's not practical. That's a social thing, but you know, we're talking real management here. But the Vedics, real management is you're managing people, not things. So the modern is if the things went perfectly well, the people have to fit into that. The Vedic is no. the mechanical has to fit into the people. But there's standards of what those people are, so it can't be just their feelings. There's standards of what a Brahmin can think, what a parent can think, what a, you know, you understand? So then there's standards, and then according to that, then you judge it all. So that's why it requires training. Not training on what are tricks of management, but training in what's actually relationships, what's dharma. Because if you don't train in that, you do not know how to make a decision. You might be, you know, fairly good, but I only know a few devotees like that. That they can just walk in and, you know, like that. We only had, you know, out of, you know, so many, there's only a few like that. So therefore, Prabhupada recommends training. Is that? Yes.
I'm just making the observation now in Bhagavatam, there's a counterpoint earlier in the first canto, and Sringini is very advanced in knowledge, but he doesn't have the character to actually operate in the
world. Yes.
And then similarly, in 8th canto, you have Vamanadeva and Bali Maharaj and Shukracharya. His orders and his authority is completely undermined, and that's how Bali Maharaj actually attains the power. So it's the complete opposite of what's here.
Yes,
the Bhagavatam just really gets to the essence by breaking
it. It breaks everything down that you know exactly what's working.
Yeah.
In other words, that devotion to Krishna, like that as recommended, that's the real thing, and everything else is secondary. It means absolutely everything.
Yeah.
There's nothing else that actually matters. Now, there's a hierarchy of those everything else, and you have to be able to distinguish, and then, you know, what weight each one of them has. But if you at any time think that any of those is actually the important point, then one has actually missed the point. So that's the thing with Bhagavatam. It will pick apart every one of our conditioned ideas and show what's actually devotional service and what's not. That's why it becomes difficult, because we simply look at the secondary aspects, like you said there. Oh, here he's resent, here he's that, you know, so it's confusing. But what's that confusion coming from? Motive passion. And what does motive passion mean? I want to enjoy. So how am I going to enjoy out of this? Or how does this get in the way of my enjoying? You know? That's the whole, because what's the point? Now, if I have to follow Guru, that means then I have to restrict my life. But if Bali Maharaj rejected his guru, now I can relate to that. Now I can enjoy. So what's getting in the way? Motive passion.
Yeah.
Guru's restricting, so I can't enjoy. And this one is, therefore I don't have to follow, I can enjoy. So the real root of the problem is the motive passion and ignorance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's rare. I've had it where you're coming across goodness. You know? I remember one, Vedic gentleman, you know, I say Ramanuja background, trained in Ayurveda, you know, paka everything like that, knew the Shastra coming out of his ears. And, you know, one of the devotees who used to always come and work with him was a sannyasi. And then when he stepped down from sannyas, he just could not digest it. And so you can understand it coming from a guy like that. But anybody else who, you know, used to, you know, think that a, you know, Mac Burger was nice, then they make a comment like that, it's like, who are they to talk? Who are they to talk? But this guy, okay, now that's worth spending some time and going through and showing the Shastra and arguing the points until they get an understanding. But everybody else, where's their qualification to even make a point of comment? So you do have, but most of the time it's motive, passion, ignorance. This guy was a point, you know, here's the duty, you know, goodness, how can you break this rule?
He's constantly always been
working. He's always on like
goodness.
That. Yeah. He's always
so
like
it's
that.
Like, it is actually out
yeah.
of
yeah. So he wasn't a businessman. You know, he was a vaidya and that's what he did.
Yeah.
He was just did his thing. His son took over, he tried to make it into a big business and everything like that. He didn't have that spiritual understanding.
Yeah.
But, you know, so he was stuck in the mode of goodness. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But for everybody else, it's like, where's the criticism? You know, they tried. Have you tried?
Yeah.
You know, are you willing to try?
Like they're saying, like, the gopis are following Vedic culture perfectly. That's why they're able to go beyond it. But
yes.
For anybody else, it doesn't have that qualification.
Yeah, yeah, then it ends up as, you know, say the Saki Baki and Navadvi. The guy with the grizzly beard,
yeah.
He's got that little pearl in his nose and the sari. And, yeah, it doesn't quite work out.
Not the same word.
No. Okay, so second.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.